It's time for What's Up with the Leader of the Opposition, Chris Hipkins.
Morena, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Morena, how are you?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good.
Awesome. We're looking forward to unpacking all of this. It's been a big month for the New Zealand Labour Party. We've had some policy announcements, which is very exciting. It sort of started with a bit of a bang, didn't it, with the capital gains tax leaking. How are you feeling about the party's recovery since the sort of initial drama of all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to get distracted by the drama, isn't it? But after 2 years in opposition, it's good to be in a position now where we're starting to reveal what we would do differently next time. The first couple of years of opposition can be pretty frustrating, but now we're in a position where we can start talking a bit more about the future again. And we started that by launching the Future Fund, which is a program that's going to help us invest in our country's future, going to create good, well-paid jobs in New Zealand to keep New Zealanders here in this country. I'm really worried about the fact that we're losing 200 New Zealanders a day who are leaving the country permanently. I want to give them a reason to stay.
Yeah, let's talk about the Future Fund a little bit, because the whole sort of premise is investing in New Zealand businesses and keeping New Zealanders here. There's been a bit of criticism, though, that it's potentially lacking enough detail to sort of have legs of its own. How do you feel about that?
Well, the government owns billions of dollars worth of assets at the moment, including a bunch of commercial trading assets like electricity companies and, you know, most of Air New Zealand, Kiwi Bank, and so on. And what we want to do as a future government is ring fence those, put them to one side, and say we're going to be long term owners of those. So we're not going to continue with the asset sales that previous governments have engaged in, and we're going to reinvest any profit that we make out of those into creating, you know, better opportunities for New Zealanders. And that can be through investing in innovative new businesses, such as in the renewable energy space, but it can also be in doing things that, you know, help to expand those existing businesses, you know, like more electricity generation, more renewable generation that will help to bring down costs for New Zealanders.
Can we expect to see more details of how this policy would be rolled out in the coming months?
What you'll expect to see after the election is obviously the companies that will go into that. We're not in a position to release the details of that at the moment. In the case of publicly listed companies, that's quite difficult because there are market disclosure requirements, for example, that we'd have to comply with, and we're not in a position to do that as an opposition party. So, I think we have to tread a little bit carefully here. But, yeah, you can imagine that it'll be the commercial enterprises that are right at the top of the list for that.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's a very different approach to, of course, the National Party's sort of take on things in terms of how they approach things with international investment. But there's been some staunch criticism from the government of the policy. Nationals called it 12 pages of total fluff. What do you have to say to that?
Well, at least we have 12 pages of something. I mean, at the moment, their only promise is a couple of lines that says we're just going to sell everything. We can't afford to keep doing that as a country. What are they going to do when they run out of things to sell? It isn't a viable strategy for New Zealand's long-term future. It basically just means that future generations will end up with nothing.
Right.
I think we should talk a little bit about this capital gains tax as well, because there's a little bit to unpack. The main sort of decision behind it has been to introduce this MediCard. Is that right?
Yeah, so we want all New Zealanders to have access to preventative health care so that they can stay healthy. So at the moment, if you get ill and you end up in a hospital emergency department, that's all free. That's fully subsidised by the public, as it should be. But if you want to go to your GP in order to not end up in a hospital emergency department, you have to pay for that. And there are a lot of New Zealanders who aren't going to the doctor as a result of that. And if they went to the doctor, it would actually save us money because we wouldn't end up having to pay for more complex treatments. So we're going to be launching the MediCard, which will give every New Zealander an entitlement to 3 free doctor's visits every year. And we've also just added to that free cervical screening as well. Because, you know, you shouldn't have to pay for screening when so many other screening tests are free. And so we want to, you know, progressively over time be extending those health entitlements that are about keeping people healthy.
It's definitely seems like a sort of safe option to start with in terms of rolling out the capital gains tax, having a policy that applies to everyone. But do you worry that perhaps there should be more policy targeted towards those who are doing it particularly hard at the moment?
One of the reasons we went for universal and preventative health care, so access to your doctor, is it's free to go to an emergency department. And, you know, everyone in New Zealand pays their fair share of tax, or should do. You know, the capital gains tax will actually help in that regard. And everyone should benefit from what that those taxes pay for, if they pay for a public health system. Yeah, I don't want us to go down the user pays road that we have in America and other countries like that, where they pay a lot more for their health care and they get less health care as a result. We have a very good public health system in New Zealand, and I think adding primary care to our publicly funded health entitlements is a huge step forward that everyone will benefit from. And a capital gains tax will only end up being paid by about 10% of New Zealanders at most.
Mm. The decision to introduce a capital gains tax is one that's been, it's got a long history with the Labor Party, and in 2023, before the election, you ruled out introducing a capital gains tax. I'm curious as to what's changed for you since then.
I think the whole country can see that we need to make some changes in this area. There's some people making a lot of money just buying and selling rental properties, and they're not paying tax on that, whereas someone who lives in one of those rental properties pays tax on every dollar that they earn. So I think people can see that we can't just get rich as a country buying and selling rental properties. We want to make sure that the next generation of New Zealanders can own their own home. And at the moment, with speculators buying up all the houses, that's much more difficult. So I think it's an important change. We're one of the only countries in the world that doesn't have a capital gains tax. The IMF, the World Bank, the credit ratings agencies, all of New Zealand's commercial banks, they've all been out there saying this is something that needs to be fixed, and National don't have the guts to fix it, but the Labor Party does.
You mentioned a little bit earlier that we have a good public health system. I think the mega strikes are a bit of a testament that things aren't so good in the health system. Does Labor have any policy up their sleeve upcoming for those in the health system that are feeling like
under the pump?
Yeah, really hard to be in.
The biggest thing our public health system has going for it are the people who work in it, and we should absolutely value them. So our doctors, our nurses, our physiotherapists, our radiographers, you know, we said it's a long list of people who get out of bed and go to work every day to care for their fellow New Zealanders. And the way they're being treated by the current government just isn't acceptable. So I think they deserve to have their concerns raised, the concerns taken seriously. And it isn't just about pay, and I absolutely accept that. It's also about the working conditions they have. So for our nurses, for example, I do talk to a lot of nurses who say, look, for me, this isn't about how much I'm paid. This is about whether or not I can provide safe care to my patients. And the government really does need to take that seriously.
I was at Auckland Hospital the other day, and there was one radiologist on for multiple wards. I mean, that's just not good enough, is it?
So we have a workforce shortage, but the workforce shortage is partly driven by pay and conditions. So we lose people overseas because they can get better pay and better working conditions by leaving the country. You know, we're never going to be able to train more people to get our way out of that. We do need to train more people. We do need more people training to be doctors, more people training for all of those professions. But it's not going to solve the problem if we keep losing them. And so that's why we have to focus on pay and conditions as well.
Okay. Just circling back to this capital gains tax policy, the Greens have proposed a slightly more radical wealth tax. What do you make of their proposal?
Yeah, we don't support a wealth tax, and we've just been through a pretty extensive exercise in looking at that. And the advice that we had from a lot of our tax experts, including two within our own team, you know, Barbara Edmonds and Deborah Russell, very passionate about our tax system, and a lot of the advice that we had from them was that there are so many unintended consequences with a wealth tax, including a lot of people just simply withdrawing that money and investing it in countries that don't have a wealth tax. So one of the key differences between a capital gains tax and a wealth tax is very few other countries have wealth taxes, but most other countries have a capital gains tax. So whereas, you know, you can't move your money out of New Zealand to avoid a capital gains tax when most of the countries that you would move it to do have one, but you could move your money out of New Zealand to avoid a wealth tax quite easily. And in many cases, the people who would be paying the wealth tax would very easily be able to just move their money to somewhere where they wouldn't pay it.
What do you envision the coalition talks looking like with the Greens over tax issues, should that be the case in 2026?
Well, my goal is to grow Labor's share of the vote as high as I possibly can. I'm encouraged by the progress we've made since the last election. We're now, having ended in the mid-20s at the last election, we're now in the mid-30s, and I want to keep that growing. But, you know, we know that we'll probably have to work with other parties after the election. We have a constructive dialogue with the Greens in opposition, and we've worked with them in the past, and they'd certainly be a party that, you know, we'd highly likely want to work with again in the future. But those are decisions that we'll make closer to the election, because at the moment, you know, voters still deserve the chance to have their say.
Very good. Thank you so much, Chris Hipkins, for making the time for a Kōrero this morning. It's been really lovely to chat with you.
Great to talk to you.
Have a good one. Ka kite.
Bye.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Leader of the Opposition, Chris Hipkins.